Oh, yeah.
I was waiting for you to come up, but I don't think I've asked you yet, so would you please come? The Lord be.
He's here, you preach.
Brother, I'm glad to have you.
Gee, how you back up?
Glad to have you. Thank you. I appreciate that. You pray for me. You see me squirming.
It's just the hip. So good to have you.
Thank you. It's always good to be here.
Remember Sister Joycey? I won't forget her ever. So continue to pray. And Leanne, we missed her. Rose?
She's on the phone.
Okay.
We had such a wonderful weekend. Anel and I had never been to, just quickly through West Virginia, and we surely have never been through that pretty country we went through on the way home. It was snowing, and it was just beautiful.
Snow?
Yeah, we went through a pretty good stretch of snow there. It had already snowed. It wasn't snowing on us, but it was a wonderful time. And Anel, when we got finished with dinner over there in Craigsville, she said, you know, we might could make it to Happy Creek.
Sure glad you did.
So we jumped in and we changed clothes and started coming down that mountain. And I thought, well, I don't have my tie on. I said, would you hand me that tie back there? And I was kind of rushing to get here anyway. She looked at me and she says, not on this road. You know? There are some roads coming down that hill. And I didn't know that little old van would roll that fast, but we had a good trip. And it was wonderful, and I thought that was such a good idea because I had the opportunity to hear Brother Gary twice over there, and I wanted some more. So we come by, and maybe we can hear some more from him. He was so blessed over there. It was a very good meeting. And of course, we haven't had the opportunity to be here at the evening session yet, and it's good to be here. It's good to be among friends and those that we love. And I was thinking a little bit on the lines of the 95th Psalm, and there's so many beautiful pictures here in this psalm, and it's more or less a call to praise God.
Amen.
And he says, oh come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. The rock of our salvation. That sounds pretty solid, doesn't
Amen.
It?
Amen.
Behold, God is our salvation. It's a wonderful thing. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving, and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. We should always come to him in thanksgiving. If we live a life of thankfulness, I think it pleases God, because he has given us so many abundant and good things in our lives and blesses us with that abundance of peace in our hearts and all the good things. He says, for the Lord is a great God. I like that, don't you?
Amen. Amen.
I always go around saying to most people that I visit, even in the store, I'll say, we have a good God, don't we?
Yeah. Yeah.
And that'll bring a smile to so many people because they realize that he is a good God. He takes care of his children. He's always good to hear. He's always there. He'll never forsake us in an eternal sense. He says, "For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In His hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is His also. The sea is His, and He made it. He made all things. He spoke the world into existence. We saw all the beauty of nature coming down that mountain over there, coming here in anticipation of praising the Lord. And things were starting to change in the colors. And it's beautiful. Seemed like they just changed overnight. When we went up, it wasn't those different colors. And an old boy that comes from a bunch of rocks and cactus, that's pretty. So we really enjoyed the scenery. It says, the sea is His, and He made it, and His hands formed the dry land. We have a magnificent, powerful God. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture, and the sheep of His hand." Isn't it marvelous that we have such a wonderful shepherd? One that watches over us, protects us from the wolves out there. That old Satan that is wandering around to see who he might devour. God is much stronger than Satan.
Amen.
When we're in God, when we're in Christ, Satan can't touch you.
Right, exactly.
He says, "And the sheep of His hand, today if ye will hear His voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation, as in the day of temptation of the wilderness." You know, I would like to go into Isaiah. I can't hardly get out of that book, seems like. But you'll turn with me to the 40th chapter. It's so good to think upon the good things of our God and how powerful He is, and how comforting He is. Jesus said that He would leave the Comforter for us.
Amen.
And He comforts us in all of our tribulations, all of our trials. He says, "My peace I give unto you."
Yeah.
And it's a wonderful peace. 40th chapter of Isaiah. Isaiah writes, from the mouth of God, comfort ye, my people, saith your God. He wants us comfortable, brothers and sisters. He wants us to know His almighty power. He wants us to feel comfortable in this life, because when He watches over us, there's no problem with anything in this life. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished. We have been separated from the warfare of sin in our lives because of what Jesus Christ has done for us.
Amen.
We no longer are under bondage to sin. And sin takes us so far down. It's the wrong way.
Yes.
We go towards His righteousness. He works in us. It's His righteousness that dwells in you that makes you want to do right things. Makes you want to do good things. What a wonderful thing it is to have Him at work in you by His glorious Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost that lifts us up, guides us, directs us towards the good things in life.
Amen.
The righteousness of life. He says, "For she hath received," talking about Jerusalem, talking about us, the children of God, "for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins." Double. How precious is that? We not only have forgiveness of sin that He has thrown behind His back, that He will remember our sins no more, but we have double. We have Jesus Christ and His teachings.
Amen.
And His guidance.
Amen.
That we can walk in His steps.
Amen.
That He can be with us as we walk in this life. Not only are those sins all forgiven that we need no longer to dwell in or dwell about, but we look towards Him to the mark of the high calling of God.
Amen.
Rather than looking at bad things, and we have the Scripture, we have the Gospel.
Amen.
We have the good news.
Amen.
We have Jesus, not just forgiveness of sins.
Right.
Have you ever thought about just being forgiven of your sins and not having Jesus with you? You have double for your sins.
Amen.
Your sins are eradicated. But you have a new life.
Amen.
He has put a new life in you. That you can see the good things. He has shown us how to walk.
Right.
And how to act in this life. Where we have all these good things.
Amen.
Without that, we slip back into sin.
Amen.
We look in the wrong way. It's all about us. It's not about our brothers and sisters anymore without Jesus. But with Jesus and His love and the way that He has taught us to love one another and your neighbor as yourself. And love God with all your soul, with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength. That's the two great commandments. And love your brother as yourself,
Amen.
Your neighbor.
Yes.
If we can follow those two things, that encompasses all the law that He gave on Mount Sinai to Moses. If you'll read them, you'll see that we're to love God and we're to love one another and not commit trespass against our brothers and sisters. And truly love, isn't it a wonderful thing that we can come together, praise God, and actually really care for one another. The well-being of each and every one of us. That one might be suffering a little bit. We are to take upon the sufferings of those that we love and help them get through it. We're to pass the comfort of God that He comforts us and pass it on to those that we love. It's a precious, precious thing. It's so good to be with you. I'm glad we made it down the mountain in time. And it's good to be with you. God bless you.
Just we're too short.
I don't want to hear you.
Well, you
did so good over there.
If I struggle, I'm going to let you come on back up.
Okay.
I appreciate that, my brother.
Yes, sir.
Brother Darrell, Sister Nell, I feel like I've known y'all all my life. And I love you. I'm so very, very thankful to have y'all with us here tonight. Thank the Lord for the fellowship we have in the Lord Jesus Christ, for the blessing of life, for the blessing of having one another in this life, to having fellowship in the Lord. To have that wonderful blessing we never want to take for granted what the Lord has done for us. I've thoroughly enjoyed the meeting thus far. I'm so glad and thankful that the Lord allowed me to be able to be here tonight. I've had a passage of scripture on my mind. I want to look at it. It's been on my mind this morning. It's been on my mind this weekend, all the way from last weekend, and it continues to be. Brother Aubrey Ouch used to say, when you were traveling with him, he said, now, he would talk to the preacher brethren. He was a deacon. He'd always look at us, and he had a little stammer in his voice, and he'd always say, brother, I don't want to hear no reruns. And some of you may be hearing a few reruns tonight. And any of you that remember Brother Aubrey can really appreciate what I mean by that. And I hope and pray, though, the Lord would give us a fresh idea and thought about things that we've heard. And when the Lord does that, it's always good to hear the good news, hear the same sermon, hear the same messages over and over again. And tonight I've just thoroughly enjoyed the things we've heard from Brother Darrell. And I want to read in your hearing from the book of Philippians, chapter 3, if you have your Bibles and like to turn with me. I'm going to read the entirety of the chapter. Certainly don't intend in the time we have before us to speak upon all the verses, but pray for me that I'll follow the leadership of the Lord and that we gain and glean some benefit from these wonderful words given to us. I said that because I kind of preached already to Brother Terry on the way back last night. We just were looking at this passage as we were riding along, and Brother Terry was driving, such as it was, and I was making an effort to just share with him from the scripture, and he did a good job. I'm just teasing with him, but we had a good time talking about some of these things already. So Brother Terry will have to bear through a rerun maybe, but pray that the Lord will bless us. Chapter 3 of Philippians. It says, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me, indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man think that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more, circumcised the 8th day of the stock of Israel of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law of Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I fall after, if that I may apprehend that for which I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything be yet ye be otherwise minded, and if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an ensample. For many walk of whom I have told you often, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. What wonderful words tonight of encouragement for God's little children as we live in this world that is so going towards an untoward generation, away from the things of God and the ideas and the thoughts that are contained in God's Word. That's why the Apostle Paul warned the brethren here after he told them to rejoice in the Lord. Brother Darrell has already shared with us from Psalm 95 that wonderful message of making praise and honor and glory unto the Lord, the focus of our life. That's really what life ought to be about for us. Tonight, we're meeting to worship God and to give Him all the praise and the glory that's due His name. The things that we've heard tonight are not new. They're the things that have been taught first by the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, and then by the apostles, and then given unto faithful men that they may be able to teach others also. And they've been confirmed by the signs of the Holy Ghost that followed. Tonight we're not coming following the fables and the ideas and thoughts of men, but those that wrote this book were eyewitnesses of His Majesty. They were the apostles that were moved by the Holy Spirit and the holy men of old moved by the Holy Ghost to pen these things down, and you and I have them before us tonight. Isn't it good to know that we're not here just to make up something? Not just here to make up a tale or a story or an idea or a thought. We're not here tonight to tell you one guy's idea is as good as another. Because really, well, in a sense, that's true. In a sense, that's true because my ideas are really no better than your ideas. And if they're coming out of me and they're coming out of you, then we can count on this. They're not the ideas and the thoughts that we want to have tonight and be operating on, because what we want tonight is to go where God's Word goes, say what God's Word says, and say with the Apostle Paul, let God be true and every man a liar. And if we were trusting in ourselves tonight, boy, we'd be trusting in that which is so, so prone to wander, bent for backsliding, even at our very best. Brethren, aren't you thankful tonight we're not here to worship one another. We're here to worship the Lord of glory, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, and we're here to trust in Him. Our duty and responsibility as ministers is to tell you not to trust in man or the ways of man or the thoughts of man, not even the princes of men, but to trust in the Lord. And trust in Him with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. And in all thy ways acknowledge Him. And the promise of God is He shall direct our paths. God's little children down through the ages have found Him to be faithful. Not only in the good times, but in the difficult times. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And when Brother Darrell was preaching, he was the same then. And when I'm preaching, he's the same then. And as time rolls on in this world, we can count on the Lord Jesus Christ never changing. The Apostle Paul said, rejoice in Him. He also said to beware of dogs. Beware of the evil workers. Beware of the concision. He's not just being rude here. He's telling us that there are those who would bite and devour you in this world with all kinds of false doctrine. You and I, as God's little children, ought to be listening to what's being preached, and we are to follow those things that come in accord with God's Word. And when we hear things that do not, they will bite and devour you. Recognize those things as being not what we ought to follow and not what we ought to build our lives upon. We are to follow the teachings as laid down in God's Word. When we compare Scripture with Scripture, we're to follow those things, and we're to beware of anyone coming preaching anything else other than salvation by the grace and the mercy of Almighty God. Many of us have been ensnared in this world in false doctrines that didn't encourage us. They discouraged us. That didn't cause us to be happy. They caused us to be afraid.
that didn't cause us to really trust in the Lord, that caused us to work just as hard as we could to try to get it right. And we recognized the harder we worked, the worse we were getting. And not feeling better about heaven, being scared to death about what was going to happen to us because our trust was in what we were going to do for the Lord rather than what the Lord had done for us. Listen, those who teach those things, though they may be sincere, they may even be God's little children. I'm not saying tonight that all of them that teach such things are not God's children. I will say this, some of them are simply deceivers. They're not concerned about God's little children. They're not there to help God's little children. They're there to fleece the flock rather than to feed the flock. And they're there many times the love of money is the root that is driving them and motivating them. But that's not true of all of them, of course not. Because even God's little children, I know there was a time in my life, even in my early years, where I had a mixed up idea about salvation in the sense that I knew the Lord had done something for me, but I thought I had to do something in order to get what He did applied to me. And I was trying my best to do it for myself, and I'd work real hard to try to get you to do it as well. And it didn't make me happy, even though I put a false smile on my face. But I would work really hard to have you do it, and it wouldn't make you happy either. Listen, tonight we're not to rejoice in our efforts and what we've done. We're to rejoice in the Lord. Isn't it good tonight we can rejoice in the Lord? Because if it was just in what you and I did, we have missed the mark. And that's what the Apostle Paul goes and tells them. He said, if you think that you can do it on your own, if you think you can handle it on your own, isn't that what he's saying? He said, if you think you can do it, listen, I was one in the head of the line as far as those who were trying to get it done on their own. And I had everything going for me that could possibly be going. I was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. I was of the tribe of Benjamin. I was circumcised in the flesh. Not only was I circumcised later, but on the eighth day I was circumcised just right according to the law. And when you went down to the letter of the law, as far as the letter of the law was concerned, not the spirit of the law, but as far as the letter of the law, the Apostle Paul said I was blameless, which means he had pretty well got himself in a position he thought that he could argue that if anybody was worthy of heaven, it was me. The only thing that went wrong with that is the Lord knocked him down one day and put some sense in his head and let him know what a sinner he really was. He was able to see on that road to Damascus. And I'm not sure what all happened to the Apostle Paul. There's a great argument among the brethren whether it was regeneration or whether it was conversion. I know one thing. Paul, who was going in one direction, turned around and went in another direction. And actually, he went the same way, but he went a whole different person. That's persecuting Saul that you and I would have hated to see in our day and time, because he would have done everything he could do to stop us from preaching the name of Jesus if it meant putting us in the prison houses of this world or putting us to death. The persecuting Saul would have done that. Became one that went to those same churches that he at one time would have persecuted and stood before them and preached in the power of Almighty God. He not only went to them as a minister, he went to them as an apostle. And I believe he sat there many times with the regret in his mind of what he'd done to the Lord's people, and it humbled him. It may have been part of the thorn in the flesh that he carried. I know this, he had a thorn in the flesh to keep him from being puffed up, and he needed it because he had so much revelation, and he was so blessed of the Lord that if the Lord hadn't knocked a little bit of that out of him by suffering the messenger of Satan to buffet him, he would have been lifted up in pride. You know, there's nothing uglier than a little child of God who gets lifted up in pride. And they're going to hurt themselves and they're going to hurt others of God's children. May God keep us humble tonight. May the Lord allow me to know this. My only hope for heaven is the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not in what I did for Him. It's in what He did for me. My only hope of having my sins washed away completely is what Jesus did for me at Calvary.
There is nothing, no repentance that ever washed or moved one sin. There's no believing in something that ever washed or moved one sin. There's never any walking down the aisle or going in the waters of baptism or any of those things that ever moved and washed away in an eternal sense any single sin ever. And there's no effort that any man or woman has ever taken in their life that is added to the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. The good news is this. You don't have to add to it, and you couldn't add to it if you needed to. You don't have to add to it because it's a complete work. It's a finished work. And once Jesus had done it and said it is finished, listen, there's an empty tomb to prove that what he said was so. And because of the resurrection, he was raised for our what? For our justification. And I'm telling you, when he was raised, there's a blessing that comes in that resurrection to us today. You are different today because Jesus was raised. You are different today because Jesus died and was buried. You are different today because the God of heaven had the power not only to love you, but he had the power to deliver those whom he loved. And he will have every one of them with him in heaven in immortal glory, whether any preacher ever preaches ever. But a preacher ought to preach because we got something to say. We need to tell God's little children how great and how good the Lord has been to his people. And I'm telling you, that's the highest calling, whatever that calling is. And all of us are called to preach in a certain sense. Not all are called to preach to God's little children from the pulpit. We know the Lord is the one who does that. But all of you are called to let your light so shine before men that others may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Which means you take what's preached from the pulpit and you apply it in your life by the grace of God. As you hear it, you believe it, you embrace it, and then you walk in it and you put on your feet the preparations of the gospel of peace. That's part of your armor. And you have your loins girt about with the truth. And you have your helmet, the hope of salvation. And you take the shield of faith. And you walk forth into the battles of life, trusting in the Lord. And your light will shine by the glory of God. And it'll give God the praise and the glory. And your life will preach more than I'll ever preach from this pulpit. Y'all believe that? That's what the scripture teaches. Brethren, I'll tell you, I've seen many a sermon sitting in the congregations that never heard from their lips, but I saw it in their actions. I saw their love, not because they said they loved somebody, they showed they loved somebody. I saw their heart being melted before God because they forgave their brethren and they loved their brethren. And we listen tonight, if the Lord had just left you and me together just the way we are, where would we be? We'd be fighting and bickering with one another, and that's what we are by nature. But what God has done is a marvelous and a wonderful work where he has given us the ability to act different and talk different and behave different. He changes lives. He doesn't try to do it. He does it. When he's worked in your heart and he's given you that life and that understanding, God forbid that any of us would ever say, me and the Lord got it done, because it's not me and the Lord that got it done. It's the Lord who did it. And we are saved. Praise be to him. Glory be given to him. In heaven, everyone's going to be praising the Lord. I believe all God's children ought to be praising him right down here too, don't you? I want to be giving him the praise. Listen, I don't know how I'm going to get through tomorrow. I sure would like to just snap a finger and get my leg to stop hurting and my back to stop hurting, but I can snap all I want to. And you know, all that does, it just wears my finger out. I'll never be able just to straighten things out. But I'll tell you what, there's a great physician who can either take away that pain or give me the grace sufficient for the hour and the moment, and even teach me in the process some things that I wouldn't learn any other way. And one day, as we've read here, there's a resurrection of life that awaits us that we will attain. Not that we earn it or merit it. We'll arrive at it. We're on a trip. We're just putting in time right now. Some of them have finished their journey. And they were at home with the Lord. And they're not sad about that. They're happy about that. Oh, we're sad they're not still with us on that journey. But they're not sad. They're rejoicing tonight in heaven. There are angels singing. There's a God in heaven who, if we could see it, I'm telling you what, I don't know all that John says in the book of Revelation about that place. It's in language that I can't really get a grip on. But I know it's there and I know it's so beautiful. We'll be like Christ and we'll be satisfied. What a glorious day that's going to be. But listen, little child of God, you might be toiling on right now. You might be having some trouble here in this world, but you're not alone. You have one who loved you so much, he died for you, and he'll be with you, and he'll continue to bless you, and he'll supply what you need. And when someone comes along and starts telling you something you got to do to add to his work, recognize it's like a little dog at your feet, nipping and biting at you. You beware of them. They're not there to help you. They're there to tear you down. They'll rob you of your joy. You start listening to that a little while, the next thing you know, you'll get a little scared and you'll get a little concerned yourself, and or you'll get a little mad, you'll get in the flesh. It's easy to get that way when you hear someone belittling the Son of God, belittling the work of the Lord, all there to be pitied, and we can share with them. Listen, salvation isn't what me and you did for the Lord, it's what the Lord did for us. And He has a resurrection of life that's awaiting us. And we want to lay hold onto everything that He's given us because He laid hold on you. Before the very foundation of the world, He saw us in our mess and He loved us. And He made choice of us. You know, when I chose my bride, I was looking for a pretty one. I wasn't looking for an ugly one. I was looking for a pretty one. When I made choice of my bride, I saw things in her that attracted me, that caused me to desire her and want her as my wife. I'm telling you, when the Lord looked at about His bride, He saw one who was cast out in the Old Testament. That little one was cast out into an open field. And there was nothing beautiful about it. It was nothing beautiful about us. But His love was so great. He loved us. And you know what's so wonderful? He had the power to make her who was not beautiful, beautiful. When He took her and when He died on the cross, He removed from her every spot, every blemish, everything that was wrong. And He loved her so much with an eternal, everlasting love that He died for her on the cross. And when He got finished with her, who are you talking about to her? I'm talking about God's little children. I'm talking about the bride of Christ. I'm talking about those He loved in covenant before the foundation of the world. He cleaned her up and washed her and made her fit for heaven. That's what He did. And even tonight, He looks down upon us through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Brother Darrell, for sharing that this weekend. I've been sharing it up here just as much as I could. He looks down upon us and He sees God's little children white and clean, washed in the blood of the Lamb. Tonight, you and I come, and maybe our singing isn't all we want it to be. And maybe our worship has got a lot of things wrong with it. And maybe as you sit here tonight, you say, what a mess I am. There's so much wrong with me. There's so many things that are not right. Am I speaking to you? There's so many things that ought not to be. And if I have to get to heaven as this old thing that I am, there is no hope for me. Do you understand? There's no hope for you. He said it here. None of us would have any hope if it were not for what the Lord did. I'm telling you, He has shed His blood, and now the Father looks through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and He sees you tonight without spot, without blemish. That's why He'll listen to your prayers, and He'll answer them according to His will, and He'll do that's what's best for you. And that love that He has for you, He had for you before the foundation of the world, and nothing would ever separate you from that. And when it comes time to dying, that's not a bad way to go, to know that's where I'm going. I'm going to see that Lord who loved me so much, He sent His only begotten Son for me and died for me. And He will allow me in, not because I got it good enough or got it right enough. Brethren, lay that burden down. Don't carry that a day longer or a moment longer. And when someone comes nipping at your feet, recognize that's an evil worker. It may even be a little child of God that doesn't know what they're doing. I'm not saying it's not. Can God's little children, I ask you, can you and I sometimes be evil workers? I wish I could tell you tonight there's no way we could be evil workers, but I just couldn't. Listen, you and I are by nature what? The children of wrath, even as others. The Bible says we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says not only that, but none of us now are completely perfect. That means we have sin mixed with us in all, and mixed in all that we do. Even as we go about serving God, if it was that alone that would get us to heaven, we would not make it. Here's the good news. There was a Savior who had no sin in Him. From the top of His head to the bottom of His feet was perfect righteousness. From the inside of His heart to the outside appearance, He was perfect righteousness. He was holy. We serve a thrice holy God. We serve God the Father, who's altogether holy. God the Son, who's altogether holy. And God the Holy Spirit, who's altogether holy. And the only thing that can live in heaven with Him is that which is holy. And you and I can't get ourselves holy. But I'm telling you, we've got a God who can clean His bride up and make her fit for her husband. I believe the husband is perfect. And I believe you do too. And I believe His bride is perfect. Not because she got it right, but because her husband loved her. That's why she's to do what? Submit herself to her husband. That means you and I, you might hear from this again. If the Lord's in the matter. Well, I do too, brother. I do too. If the Lord blesses us, and as sure as we're living tonight, let us submit ourselves wholly to this loving God who has shown us so much love. Could we ever love Him like He loved us? No, but let us do it the very best we can. Let us appertain. That means lay hold on to it eagerly. That which we were appertained for. That which He got us. He called you out of nature's darkness into His marvelous light for a purpose. And that was to bring praise and glory to Him. May you and I be involved in that, not as an afterthought, not as something we'll put in every once in a while, but may it be the most important thing that we have in our life, because the Apostle Paul said, we press towards the mark of the high calling of Jesus Christ. God is the one who calls us. We don't do something to get in our calling. We've been called to that. May the Lord bless us to lay hold on to that with all that's in us. May we do it to the glory and to the honor and the praise of the Lord. We can't praise Him too much. We can't thank Him too much. The Lord, we can sing tonight, right? The Lord's been so good to me. I just want to praise His name. Give Him honor. Give Him glory. And never get to the place we trust in ourselves for our salvation. Our salvation, if there's any hope for us, and it is, and that's in the Lord Jesus Christ and in Him alone and what He's done for us. May the Lord bless each and every one of you. And when you have a mind to pray, remember me, and God bless you.
The Lord did it over.